Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, yeah. I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just, I couldn't quit.
Now on to the show. On the show today, we have Capstone's very own John Deering and Great Lakes Credit Union's very own Steve Bug. They are both here talking about Great Lakes' QSO journey and how they've worked with Capstone to make that journey more effective. And their recent success is proving that it worked. So enjoy this conversation with John and Steve. Hey, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, I have two fine gentlemen representing the credit union industry. Right next to me, Mr. Steve Bug from Great Lakes Credit Union, the fine state of Michigan. Steve, how are you, sir?
Good. And we're in Illinois, not Michigan.
Oh, my gosh.
You just had the lake that separated us, but that's okay, Mike.
Oh, my gosh. I was just
wondering. Very close.
Darn it. All right. That's the first blooper that we will have for 2023. Thank you. Congratulations, Steve. From the great state of Illinois, Steve Bug from Great Lakes Credit Union. Oh, great to have you here. Anyway, no matter what state you're from, great to have you here. And then right below us, John Deering from Capstone. John, how are you, sir?
Doing very well, Mike. Pleasure to join you again today. Thank you.
Pleasure to join you. And you're calling from New Jersey, but you have that gorgeous picture of the Golden Gate Bridge right behind you from California. So we're kind of a multi-state. What's going on here, guys?
That's right. But I'm in Virginia. I'm originally from New Jersey, so there is a connection in New Jersey.
All right.
Yeah, I'm in Virginia, so hopefully we'll be seeing some of our good coming to GAC to Washington Nation here shortly.
Going to be here before you know it for sure. All right, guys. So now that my geography lesson has totally gone haywire, let's talk about QSOs today, shall we? So always an important topic in our industry because those QSOs, they're popping up everywhere and they're doing such a great job helping credit unions out, obviously. So Steve, I want to start with you since you are the credit union representative here. Can you share with us Great Lakes QSO journey real briefly here? What did it entail and kind of how it's helped you guys?
Sure, Mike. Great question. So prior to a couple years ago, GLCU participated in QSOs, but primarily from a service aspect. And we really didn't have a good defined growth strategy for the utilization of QSOs. So in 2021, I attended a conference. John happened to be a presenter at the conference. And it was a QSO conference, so had great opportunity to attend, listen to great presenters, and I was really looking for tips to strengthen our QSO policy and strategy that would be ultimately approved by the board.
Okay.
But through attending the conference, talking to some peers, and listening to John, I thought, you know, maybe we need to look at hiring a growth partner that would come in to assess the situation at our credit union and help us really better define a QSO strategy and policy that our board would approve that we then could take not only for the short term, but for the long run, look at how we could utilize QSOs. So in the past, we used them for some lending opportunities. We used them for shared branching, but again, really didn't have a good understanding of the world of QSOs.
Mm-hmm.
So post-conference, reached out to John at Capstone, and we vetted John, and John agreed to assist Great Lakes with developing our strategy, our policy, and then also helping present and educate to the board the proper use of QSOs and the strategic growth engine that QSOs can provide to an institution. So I think a couple things that John opened our eyes to that has really worked well for us in the last 18 months or so is really looking at a QSO as a primary strategic growth driver. We kind of listed under our investment portfolio. However, there are different QSO opportunities that we look at. One is a way to drive non-interest and interest income. Also, we want to assess the QSO innovation, especially in the form of technology that can expand or strengthen GLCU's product and service offerings. And that can either be direct to member, or it certainly can be on the operations side of our organization as well.
Yeah.
And then also we use CUSO investments to access specialized talent that we don't have at the credit union for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. So John eagerly jumped in with the Capstone team, helped us really build a robust policy and strategy that we've been working on implementing over the last year now. And it's really helped us better define the utilization of partners, mm-hmm. either for investment opportunities or in a lot of cases, we're the end user of the product. And John and Capstone have brought us opportunities that we would not have sought out on our own, but also helped us vet through opportunities that we had that we thought we wanted to take a look at because of Capstone and John's experience with CUSOs throughout the industry. It really helped us kind of build now a better CUSO portfolio.
Yeah. Is it, as you're talking, Steve, I'm wondering, is it because there's so many CUSOs out there now, or you're trying to avoid that shiny red ball syndrome where you're being distracted, like, oh, let's go for that. Oh, let's go for that. Or let's go for that. Is it kind of to kind of quell that or kind of mitigate that, if you will?
Yeah, Mike, that's a great point. And I think that's the value of having a growth partner like John and Capstone involved in the process. So they sat down, interviewed our leadership team, talked to our board, got that feedback, and then helped us develop really a better strategy.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at CUSO opportunities, to your point, Mike, we want to make sure they fit in the guardrails of the strategy that we have at the credit union.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, to your point, looking at everything that is out there, a lot of great opportunities, mm-hmm. but perhaps, right, they don't all fit within that kind of strategic framework.
Yeah. And John, coming to you on this one. Now, when Steve first came to you guys, how did you approach it and setting, like Steve said, setting up these guardrails, if you will, to help them be more focused in their CUSO strategy? How did you guys kind of, what were the first steps and how did you guys get the ball rolling here to succeed in this area?
Yeah, I mean, I give Steve a lot of credit. As he said, he went to the conference to learn, educate, get tips, came out of there thinking that there was still very passionate about the CUSO road, right? He believed in it, saw there was great opportunity to complement what Great Lakes was doing organically on the growth side to help members in the community. But I guess the answer to your direct question is we have a set of tools that we utilize through facilitation to help foster dialogue, to understand it's great to have a white piece of paper, but at some point you have limited time and resources and you have to start whittling down the options and put those guardrails or sandbox out there that says, okay, if something has these attributes, that's going to move to the next level of evaluation. And we're going to spend more time at the leadership level at Great Lakes to dig in. Mm-hmm. We can't do that on every opportunity, right? And what happened was the mindset shifted. And I think Steve was already there, quite frankly, when he contacted us, to be crystal clear that he knew that they were being opportunistic historically. And now he wanted to be more strategic about it, more proactive, more focused in the efforts for what CUSOs could do. He was a believer that CUSOs could help the cause.
Mm-hmm.
It was more about where do we direct our attention to actually execute against a strategic imperative at Great Lakes and how CUSOs can help us. So yeah. I think the other answer to your question, Steve also stated is, you know, you want to get the input from all the critical decision makers in the chain early and have alignment across the board members and the leadership group on this is where we're headed and why,
right?
And a common understanding when you have a disparate set of backgrounds, perspectives, et cetera, as it relates to CUSOs or anything else, quite frankly, you try to start with level setting, right? It's part of the foundational work that we did with Great Lakes
mm-hmm.
That Steve talked about, and then starting to document it, like he said as well. It's not just we had a great conversation and there were five ideas that bubbled out of it. That's fabulous. Let's capture that.
Yeah.
Let's harness the energy and passion there, but let's also put together, okay, at this stage of the game, these are some basic tenets that we're going to follow. Mm-hmm. They may change. We understand we may do 3 or 4 CUSO investments and partnerships, and then we're a new organization. We need to relook at that. But at least putting that pen to paper after lots of dialogues and facilitation.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really excited to talk to you guys today, because I think there's so many credit unions out there that are, that were or are in your position, Steve, because I mean, again, there's so many CUSO opportunities out there, which is great for credit unions. This is, I mean, what a great problem to have if it is a problem. So, but it's also great to have somebody like you, John, come in and help a credit union kind of, again, set those guardrails up so a credit union can focus on what CUSOs to focus on based on their strategies or their plan moving forward. So yes, this is so, so great. And going back to you, Steve, here. So in working with John to make the success, obviously you kind of had to lay down the foundation or your plan of how you guys are moving forward in a technology sense and an operations sense, all the buzzwords here. So is that kind of what you did there to get this off the ground, right? And then keep it a success going today as well, right?
Right, Mike. I think that's a great point. So working with John, the Capstone team, you know, after we developed the policy, the strategy, then really putting that in place and following that discipline to ensure as we looked at opportunities, we vetted through the criteria that John helped us get approved through our board.
Right.
And then looking at the opportunity and how did it match up against that criteria, and where there were any gaps, either explain it and or say, is that too big of a gap that perhaps it doesn't fit right now? One thing I also want to comment on that John brought to us that is something that was not really on our radar previously, I think, which any institution needs to have. Not sure why we overlooked it or why I overlooked it. But as we were onboarding CUSOs, right, also, what is the exit strategy that you put in place?
Uh-huh.
Right? At some point in the future, if your strategies do change or the CUSO is not performing as indicated for a variety of reasons, how are you going to go about exiting and what does that look like? So equally important to us as we walk through the criteria that we had for these are the things that are really important to us, we also added on how are we going to develop the strategy to exit when the time is right. And in a lot of instances, that changed the dynamics of how we evaluated that CUSO. Would it be easy to exit? Is there a financial impact to the organization? Right. So I think in having that growth partner, John and Capstone, develop that process, that really helped us better identify who we wanted to target from a CUSO perspective, and then who we wanted to work with as we work through the criteria, and then also the exit strategy and how easy is it to exit. And then if you're doing it from an investment play, right? Are you going to get any type of a return back or are you going to write that off? Right.
Yeah.
So I think for our board, that was very important to hear that we evaluated equally, not only onboarding the great side of the relationship, but also if it didn't work out, what would that look like as well?
Yeah.
And I think it's important to understand that if I looked at investments in CUSOs prior to working with Capstone and John, we were probably around $750,000 invested in CUSO. Not a lot for our asset size at a little over $1.3 billion. Now we're up to a little over $6 million in CUSO investments, right? And that's the direct investment side. But we also have expanded how we're using CUSO. So we're the end user of some of their products and services. Others purely we're investing in, and some we're using both sides, right? So I think it's for an institution, what's that strategy? How are you going to overlay the CUSOs on top of that strategy that you're working on? And what are the benefits of having that CUSO strategy in play? And I do want to call out Becky Reed.
Great resource.
And she really, I love talking to her at the conference because she really helped me look at CUSOs even more broadly than I had thought of prior to attending the conference. She spoke, but was able to network with her. Certainly John knows Becky. And because of Becky, we actually are using one of the CUSOs that she helped start. We're not an investor, but it was a great solution for us to a problem we had. And so early on, part of the development in our CUSO strategy was it has to solve a problem, right? So there should be a solution that that CUSO is solving for. And that also helped open our eyes when we looked at those opportunities. Just a helpful hint.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Talk about opening your eyes. It's great to bring in a third party or somebody else that can open your eyes to something that, oh my gosh, why didn't we think of that? So yeah, this is a perfect, yeah, that the exit strategy is a perfect example of that. And again, the next question is for both of you as well, but John, I'm going to stick with you on the first part of this one. So how are CUSOs a growth vehicle for credit unions? And one of the areas here is kind of some of the key learnings here. So how have you guys used it as a growth vehicle? Because obviously you guys are using the CUSOs quite effectively right now.
I mean, industry-wide, they're being utilized more and more every day. As you said at the onset, there are so many options out there and more bubbling to the surface every day, which is great as credit unions continue to team with entrepreneurs, credit unions continue to team with fintechs, more and more will bubble up for sure. Mm-hmm. There's the whole other side of, you know, beyond what Steve talked about with, you know, expertise and talent, right? That's one reason that folks are doing this. Another reason is the income side, which could be immediate with dividends, could be net income distributions, however it's set up, could be medium to long term on the exit side where you're actually getting investment returns, as Steve noted. There could be another category that worth considering for the credit unions to use CUSOs, and that is in around operational efficiency, which isn't off Steve's radar, believe me. I mean, there are a couple in the queue that I know are involved in that. So I think you need to be one aware of what those major baskets are of how CUSOs can help. What role are you trying to solve at the institution?
Yeah.
Are you trying to drive greater engagement in a seg or a community? That's a very different problem than trying to get operational efficiencies out of your call center to, you know, make it two polar examples, right? So you need to be clear about, and I think Steve's been very good about this with his team, is you need to be clear about what you want to get out of the CUSO growth strategy before you actually go in there and start looking at CUSOs, because believe me, there's a never-ending list of them to look at, let alone opening up to fintechs beyond that. But Steve in Great Lakes has this great portfolio kind of approach to things. You've heard him say that, you know, they're looking at risk mitigation is in that, right? How do you do that? A couple of different ways. You don't put all your eggs in one basket, as one example. And the other example is you look at different ways to utilize CUSOs. Mm-hmm. Use the service, look at it as investment, look at it for cost savings, et cetera. So you have different risk mitigation tools that you can utilize as well as you develop your CUSO strategy. I'll stop there. Steve probably has some great...
No, I want to get Steve's perspective from the credit union perspective as well, as far as using CUSOs as a growth vehicle in these areas.
Yeah, so I would echo what John just commented on. And so for us, right, we look at one of our strategic pillars is smart growth. And this strategy really fits under that pillar for us. And so we're looking at growth, not only short term, but planning for the future. Mm-hmm. And so some of our investments, we're doing exactly that. We're planning for the success of that CUSO and how that's going to help us over time. One immediate need for us was an ISO. So instead of trying to stand up through our IT team, its own independent ISO, where we were always challenged with our IT leader, what hat is that person going to play? We were able to partner with the CUSO for a virtual ISO, which helped mitigate some risk that our enterprise risk management team saw for the institution, right? Supervisory committee like that, the board like that. And we're gaining better expertise through the expense of utilizing that CUSO, which not that I'd never be able to find that talent, but it would take us a long time to replicate that talent internally at Great Lakes. So multiple strategies, as John alluded to, some we've looked at purely from an investment perspective where we know that we're going to get some immediate returns. Others perhaps are more long-term if that CUSO ever sells or launches and all of a sudden other partners come in, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's that balancing act. And I think for us, it was important not to put all of our investment dollars into just a couple. So we've spread that out, but have been more strategic. And then for us, it wasn't having a long laundry list of CUSOs, but making sure that strategically we have the right partners today and in the future for us, and then managing through that. And equally, what we learned from our prior success with CUSOs is the evolution and evaluation annually of your QSO strategy, your partners, and running through, just like we do with our key vendors or partners, are they living up to what you thought they were going to live up to? Mm-hmm. Is the return there, if that was important? How's that end user experience? And reporting on that with the leadership team back to the board so that we all level set. Mm-hmm. And then if for whatever reason we need to look at exiting one, we put that strategy in play. Or we say it's time to expand. Let's look at other opportunities.
And isn't this a two-way street as well, guys? I mean, because obviously when Great Lakes is partnered with or investing in a QSO, that it makes that QSO that much better, because you have some input on how it, I don't want to say how it operates, but you can say, oh, maybe this might work better, or hey, this is how we implemented it, and then that will help another credit union down the road. So it really seems like it's a two-way street, where you guys win and they win as well, and each of you get better along that journey, if you will, right? Have you experienced that, Steve?
Yeah, I think, and that's a great point, Mike. I think also part of that is, right, based on different QSOs and their opportunities they have for investors, mm-hmm. and the amount you're willing to invest, you certainly can look at, for your investment level, getting a board seat. So you do have a say, right, in the direction and the formation of their future strategies, right? Or there may be others that you say, that's not as important. Mm-hmm. So maybe my investment level is going to be lower.
Right.
But certainly we've also been able to partner with QSOs that also have other credit unions, where then we start sharing ideas with them, right? That so that network opens up even beyond just that QSO. And so we've learned a great deal, not only through the QSOs, but through some of the other credit unions and or investors that are also investing in these QSOs. And so the opportunity to network and learn for us has been really great, mm-hmm. and then has helped us look at forming different strategies based on those key learnings from participating in the QSOs with other investors.
Yeah, yeah. What a beautiful industry this is when you can have that level of collaboration. So yeah, just that's why, yeah, I'd love this.
Can industry. I add one thing there?
Just go ahead, John.
Making me think of it, Mike, before you move on, was just that another ancillary benefit here that Steve just made me think about is just the ongoing development and professional opportunities for people on his team, leadership or otherwise, as they get involved with the QSO's involvement, either at the board level, right, where they might not have been before, and or just working on a day-to-day basis with implementation and execution. So mm-hmm. I think back to your, two-way street comment, there's also benefit for Steve's team at Great Lakes as it relates to new learnings there as well.
Completely, completely. And John, I'm going to stick with you on this one too. Can you share some QSO growth tip, I almost said trips again, growth tips for others in the community and the credit union community?
I can probably offer tips on trips, but people don't want to listen.
Well, you got a nice one right behind you in San Francisco. So
I do like visiting San Francisco. So I guess just thinking about specifically the Great Lakes scenario, I think focus is your friend. That's number one answer on the board, because if people are thinking about dipping their toe in the water or getting deeper into QSOs, mm-hmm. There is, you've said it a couple of times, a couple of different ways, a lot of positive momentum and action that's going on out there. So keeping your eye on the ball with focus is helpful. The alignment side with the board that's come up is absolutely, I think, given Steve kind of, he had a lot of room to work and look at QSOs before. But now more than ever, they believe in what's going on, and he doesn't have to, putting words in his mouth, have to go back and explain things because he has this roadmap, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that saves a lot of time for the CEO and leadership, just having that in place.
Oh, no.
And the third one I'll just say is, seeking out the expertise through QSOs and otherwise from outside parties that can help complement your internal team is a great, great benefit.
Yeah, indeed. And as you guys are talking, I keep thinking about that old Apple commercial about their app store. There's an app for that. Today, it seems like there's a QSO for that now in our industry. So there's lots of opportunities out there. But like Great Lakes and you guys and Capstone, how you guys have worked together, you got to have a plan because of all the opportunities out there. And Great Lakes is obviously succeeding greatly in that area. So on that note, gentlemen, anything else to add to wrap up? Steve, I'll let you go first. Any final thoughts here?
Sure. I would advocate for getting a strategic growth partner like John and Capstone, because you don't know what you don't know. And so that opened up a bigger world for us to take a look at QSOs. And we did not view it as a one and done deal with Capstone. We looked at it as a journey. And still today, we work with Capstone, although they helped us build the policy, get it approved, and the strategy. We still use them and work through opportunities, vetting, what's new, right? So that's part of, you hire the right key partner that can work well for your organization. We found that in John and Capstone. And that's great, because as these opportunities come up, we can then tap them on the shoulder for their experience, right, and knowledge. That helps us as well.
Yeah. Well, and the proof is in the pudding here, because it's working for you guys. So, right. So, yeah, great, great point. Indeed. John, I'll let you wrap it up here. Any final thoughts here?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to get together today. Really appreciate it. Steve, thank you for joining us as well and taking us up on the challenge to share some of your insights. I think that, having a proactive approach to QSOs is key. And a lot of financial institutions in the credit union community have a very, very good system, process, protocols for their strategic planning and organic growth side. And then they don't necessarily have the rigor necessary to be successful or increase your likelihood of success, is another way of looking at it, if you have an external QSO plan in place. So that would be my final word for today, is having both in place if you're going to be serious about QSOs will help the cause.
Yeah. And as we said earlier, it's working. So there's already, you see the proof right in front of you. So yeah, guys, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insights, your expertise, and some great examples as well of how this can really be effective for credit unions moving forward and helping them grow as well. So great, great stuff here, guys. And I'm actually I'm looking forward to seeing you guys maybe on stage one of these days, as you know, kind of a dynamic duo speaking at one of these conferences on this very topic as well, and how effectively to use QSO. So we'll see that. Hopefully we'll see that come to fruition in 2023 or sometime near. So anyway, guys, I digress. Thank you so much for coming on again. Appreciate the time as always, and look forward to the next chat.
Sounds good. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Mike. You're welcome.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just I couldn't quit.